Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
10 to 6 Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick on LBC means one thing. If you listen carefully, you can hear the crack of tins and the pop of corks around the nation as we officially welcome you to the weekend. So sit back, relax, he'll take it from here. It's Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, as this American week clatters to its conclusion, it may have been the week when President Donald Trump allowed the mask to slip. We've been on quite a journey with him over the last 7 days, since last Friday night when Israel unexpectedly attacked Iran, perhaps deliberately derailing talks between the mullahs and the US that were due to take place last Sunday. And the president insisted, "Nothing to do with me, Gov."
The president said overnight that the US had nothing to do with the attack on Iran and delivered this stark warning, posting on social media, "If we are attacked in any way, shape, or form by Iran, the full strength and might of the U.S. armed forces will come down on you at levels never seen before."
The U.S. is still hopeful nuclear agreement talks can move forward, despite Iran backing out of the negotiations that were planned for this Sunday.
ABC and CBS reporting the president's insistence that basically he would only get involved if the Iranians directly attacked American citizens or U.S. interests in internationally. And some of us thought, with good reason. After all, just 90 days ago,
"The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003.
Tulsi Gabbard, President Trump's own director of national intelligence, testifying under oath on Capitol Hill, said that the U.S. intelligence community did not think Iran was about to blow up your back garden.
"We continue to monitor closely if Tehran decides to reauthorize its nuclear weapons program."
And let's not forget that on the day of his inauguration in January, Donald Trump promised that the era of American military adventurism in places like Iraq and Afghanistan was over. There would be no more forever wars on his watch.
"We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into."
So his own intelligence agencies say Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon and hasn't reauthorized its nuclear program. He has a long track record of opposing U.S. involvement in foreign wars and told the public he had nothing to do with Israel's strike on Iran. Case closed, presumably. But then everything changed.
"Time and again, America's enemies have learned that if you threaten the American people, our soldiers are coming for you. Your defeat will be certain, your demise will be final, and your downfall will be total and complete."
The president, speaking on Saturday at a parade in Washington ostensibly designed to celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army, that just happened to fall on his own 79th birthday. And the sudden vehemence of his language towards Iran there notwithstanding, the rest of the event did not live up to his expectations.
"From Fort Bragg, North Carolina, this is the 82nd Airborne Ceremonial Band."
First, there was torrential rain that ensured hardly anyone turned up. Then there were images of soldiers who could barely be bothered to march properly as they paraded in front of the increasingly dour and irritated commander-in-chief. At one point, even the TV audience could hear the squeaking of tanks as they were driven past him. And finally, there was an extraordinary scene in which a soldier held a drone aloft as he wandered past the president, looking a bit like Lance Corporal Jones in Dad's Army, coming up with a solution on the fly to a drone that for some reason would not fly. bear in mind that at exactly the same time, the military parade was turning into a damp squib all over the country. Up to 6 million people were simultaneously taking part in protests against Trump and his government. The No Kings movement mobilized more opponents of Trump on a single day than we have yet seen since his second term began. Among those marching in New York City, the actor Mark Ruffalo, who spoke to MSNBC.
Why are people out here getting soaked in the rain to send a message?
Because we see our democracy is in real trouble. We see a president who has made himself a king and dictator. And we don't see an opposition that's powerful enough to stand up against the trampling of our rights and the trampling of the Constitution that's happening every single day.
Which, if you think about it, is not just an indictment of the president. It is a savaging of the Democratic Party as well, for simply failing to meet the national moment. But it was the Republicans this week who tore themselves apart in public. By the time Donald Trump flounced out of the G7 summit in Canada, leaving early, grudgingly signing a declaration calling for de-escalation in Iran, and of course leaving the Prime Minister to pick up those papers that the President dropped when the two men hailed yet another somewhat questionable trade agreement, back at the White House...
You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do. I can tell you this, that... Iran's got a lot of trouble.
The US leader started stoking the notion that he might join Israel's attack and drop bunker-busting bombs, the most powerful non-nuclear weapons in America's arsenal, on Iran's deeply buried nuclear facilities. And that drove some of his far-right supporters nuts.
This is stupid. We don't need to be involved in Bibi Netanyahu's Middle East BS and expansion policies. Okay, they don't have the people, so they want you to be the people that go die for it and are trying to marry you to those ideas.
Far-right influencer Candace Owens accusing President Trump of betrayal.
No person should send their kids to die in the Middle East because this has been our policy, our flatline policy for the last decades, and nothing good has come of it.
And the most brutal indication of the conflict between those Trump Republicans who believe that the United States does have a vital security interest in Iran and those America First figures who do not came in a podcast hosted by former Fox News presenter Tucker Carlson. His guest was Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who favors a military strike, and the encounter itself turned into a bloodbath. Here is one portion of it at length.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah,
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
You don't know anything about Iran. So,
okay,
I am not the
Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
knows anything about the country.
Now, the thing about that is Tucker Carlson was using Ted Cruz there as a surrogate for Donald Trump. Every single person watching that knows that the American president would be even less able to answer basic questions about Iran than Senator Cruz. At the White House, Trump tried to tough it out.
Seems like this issue on whether or not the United States should strike is kind of dividing a lot of your supporters.
No, my supporters are for me. My supporters are America First. They make America great again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon.
But as the week advanced, the president came to understand that he had a difficult line to walk. So while he continued to threaten a military strike, he also appeared beguiled by a sudden Iranian offer to send a delegation of the country's top leaders to the White House.
They want to meet, but it's a little late to meet, but they want to meet, and they want to come to the White House. They'll even come to the White House, so we'll see. I may do that.
With hindsight, that on Wednesday should have been the giveaway. He still talked in the Oval Office about anything could happen. He'd make the decision in the last second. But there are two competing Donald Trumps. The president, who wants to drop massive bombs on Iran's nuclear facilities first and negotiate about them later, and the president who wants to try and win the Nobel Peace Prize by negotiating now and then not having to fight the war later. And under pressure as a result of the schism among his own supporters, last night he left it to White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt to announce which Donald Trump had, for now, won the day.
Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
Now, I need to let you into a secret. This is not the first time Donald Trump, faced with a tough decision to make, has bottled it and kicked the can down the road for a fortnight. It is one of his favorite moves. I was going to make my own compilation, but CNN did it for me.
At some point in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm going to be setting the deal.
Over the next 2-3 weeks.
In about 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
You'll be hearing about it a lot more in the next 2 weeks. Maybe in 100 years from now, maybe in 2 weeks.
And as he indicated right at the end there, 2 weeks can so very easily become never. Does this mean he's stepped back from the brink? We don't have to worry about the B2s taking off from Diego Garcia? Not necessarily. But with Wall Street traders already calling Trump a chicken on the basis that when it comes to tariffs, he can always be counted on to chicken out. On foreign policy too, the message that he has sent to Vladimir Putin over Ukraine, China over trade, and now Iran over its nuclear ambitions is, let's swerve the confrontation, at least, Tom, for the next two editions of American Week.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.